We'll get started on today's podcast. We'll tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford lunch special today. Chicken spaghetti, $4.99, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink. Maybe on the way home from work today, decide you want some ribs, wet or dry. You can go in, you can call ahead. Either way, they'll be ready for you. Also, maybe think about them for Super Bowl Sunday coming up. We've done that before. It is a great, easy way to take care of your Super Bowl party there with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. And we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900, Highway 25 South there in Amory. You know, you can give Corey Clark a call during business hours. 15 minutes later, you're going to have a quote. It's going to be a good quote. You can shop it around. You're probably going to take it when you do. Mention the podcast at the end of the negotiating, or really the paperwork, because there is no negotiating. Mention the podcast, $500 off by doing that with Clark Ford. Now onto the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk some basketball. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk some fundraising, some charity basketball games. We'll talk about a lot of things today on the program here. You got Neil's 10 thoughts up on the site at rebelgrove.com. Got some baseball content. Got some basketball content and recruiting. Neil and I even chipping in on that effort along with Russell this weekend. So
I interviewed Kreutz yesterday.
People helping people.
I interviewed Kreutz.
Yeah.
Hard-hitting questions. Got to the bottom of some.
Russell handled everything from behind the desk, and it was very obvious that we had it'd been a one-man band for a little while, because everybody we talked to looked at us and goes, you haven't done this in a while, have you? Nope. But, hey, it's like riding a bike. Jump back on it, and here we go. So,
I was proud of myself. I told in the negotiations to conduct one interview, I said, we can get this done in 2.5 minutes or less.
You did ask that.
And we got it done in 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Is that what it was?
It absolutely was. Got all I needed in 2 minutes and 14 seconds. The people that conduct 20 and 30-minute recruiting conversations, you're doing it all wrong.
You can see that content at rebelgrove.com. I will say, you can judge some kids by the first 2 or 3 minutes you meet them. You get a little more than the cover. I was really impressed with the Lakia Henry kid, the linebacker yesterday. He was He seemed to have a little bit of media savvy about him. He was quick to spell parents' names. He went out of his way to kind of add something to the answer that I think he gleaned that we were going to need. I was, as much as you can be impressed with someone in about 4 minutes, I was. And Ole Miss needs him. Looks like
less
it's probably down
minutes.
to Ole Miss and Arkansas with him.
Less than 4 minutes.
Yeah. Less than four
and
minutes.
That was a detailed recruiting conversation.
It was a fairly detailed conversation.
Got it done in less than 4 minutes.
That is correct. So, anyway, again, rebelgrove.com. Also, if you so wish, we are still raising money for the FedEx Family House at Le Bonheur.
We hate charity, and that was made clear late last week. But this weekend, if you include, and I don't know the exact number, there's really no way for me to know the exact number because I wasn't planning on organizing a fundraiser.
We have a minimum number. I don't know where it could go beyond that.
I think the number that was raised for St. Jude
was give or take $1,000.
I was going to say around $1,000.
Yeah.
And we've raised about $3,500 for the FedEx house at Le Bonheur.
Correct.
When I say we, it's the Rebel Grove community.
Yes, right.
And I tweeted it out this morning because I wanted to wait until Monday morning because tweets get lost on weekends.
They do.
And so I waited till Monday morning. I'll tweet it out again later today. I think the goal that was set was $5,000, and hopefully we can achieve that, and that'll be
I kind of thought nice. The whole – we'll go through this. We'll give you kind of the timeline of how all this – transpired this morning, because that's frankly more interesting than the basketball game or anything else on Saturday.
If you own a business Octibaha County, now would be the time to be advertising, because we absolutely have listeners.
So, but real quick for the first thing, yeah, really credit to all the Rebel Grove people, the podcast listeners, for just endless charitable givings over the years. I mean, I don't know if Neil and I have discussed this, but I sat down this morning, I was paying some bills and doing some different things, and I thought, all in all, between Neil's marathon stuff, the golf thing last year,
the golf
stuff that Craddock has pitched in so generously over the years, I think we've raised somewhere around $100,000 for charity all in with Rebel Grove over the last how many ever years.
I would say that's a conservative guess.
Yeah. Because a couple of the marathons went up into the 25 to 30 range.
Well, in fact, that first marathon that I ran,
it got crazy.
I was the second largest fundraiser.
Yeah.
For the entire St. Jude thing.
Yeah.
For that marathon.
Yeah.
And that's 50,000 people at that marathon.
Yeah. Most of them raising money to get into the event.
Yeah, a whole lot of people raising money for the event. Yeah.
So, yeah, the weird target over a charity standpoint. But, look, everybody's been asking about this stupid basketball game, and here's what happened. So, I think Neil got word of this a day or two before I did. However, there was a mass text sent out by...
I got word of the concept.
Okay, gotcha.
And then for whatever reason, I'm not interrupting your story, but for whatever reason, last week, things got pushy. In not a bad way, but just hey, we got to know, are you in or out? Go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. So, here's the deal.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Charity that is run by Robert St. John's, show up out of Hattiesburg. Great charity. No problem with the charity whatsoever.
No, none at all.
Feeds people in Mississippi and all that
stuff. It's great.
So I don't know who contacted who to begin with, and frankly, at this point, I don't care. But it came to us in a text message. It was sent to about six people that I had in my phone and then some other ones that I didn't, which looking back, I thought, that's probably kind of strange that there was that many people in my phone I didn't have. But
yeah,
anyway.
I was same boat.
I didn't
have many of those.
It was sent to me, you, Richard, Yancey, Ben, Keith Carter, Keith Kessinger.
Ben Garrett.
Yes, correct. Right. And then maybe somebody else. But that was the ones I noticed just when I hit the little info button to see who all got this gym.
Okay.
So... And it was kind of pushy. It was a text saying that the MSU media contingent had organized a basketball game, had already had dates, had celebrity coaches, had entertainment. It was going to be on a Monday night in March at the basketball arena at Mississippi College in Clinton.
Right.
And basically said everything was done except for you guys being the Ole Miss team. And I immediately sent a couple texts because I get this was not the intent of St. John. He has no understanding of as he should, of media concepts. So this is not in him whatsoever.
Right.
But
there was a problem at the bottom of that text.
Well, but no, that was the second text. Okay. That was the email. Sorry, it was not a text. It was an email.
I didn't get the email.
Okay, see, I got an email to begin with.
I didn't get the email. I got the text.
Okay, well, and I kind of said, look, here's the problem. Is they pick a date without telling us anything. I mean, who knows what everybody has going on, not having going on, and basically have this whole thing set where you're either 100% amenable to everything they're talking about, or it's going to come out publicly that you hate charity. One or the other. That's the way this thing was phrased at the beginning, at least in my connotation of the way this thing was going. That was my thought process.
Okay.
And I sent it to a couple people, and I was a little pissy. And like I got some really sarcastic things back from a couple people don't miss, like, yeah, not surprised this happened. Like, yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So then a couple days later, yeah, it was another text that missed the whole concept of anything to do with the dynamics of this beat or any beat. And
because here's reality, and guys, if you're out there listening, and I know you are, I'll be happy to discuss it with you on Saturday when you come to the game. If you come, I know some of you will be advised by your attorneys and such not to come. Because I always consult my attorney before I go cover a road game. Your beat's different than ours. Frankly, your beat's different than any other beat. I've been on different beats. I've never been on a beat like the one that you all seem to have.
Aggressively chummy. And frankly, this beat was a lot chummier 10 years ago than it is right now. But
Our beat's not chummy at all.
No, and...
It's not hostile, but we all just sort of leave each other alone. We don't hang together as a group.
But it was even kind of beyond that. It was so many sideshow things. It was so many different things. And in my head, even before it became public, I thought, hey, and you said this too, if y'all really want to do something, let's just figure out some competition for charity. Let's Let's do this in a simple thing. Websites. Yeah, we have websites. We have Twitter. We have podcasts.
Oh, we definitely have Twitter.
We can get messages out.
Yeah.
But that was, I wonder sometimes if that was never the point. I almost wonder if the very beginning, some people knew there was no way this was actually going to take shape from this side. So it was going to give an ammunition to go public and make a showing out of something. I don't know that. That's just speculation on my part. If so, congratulations.
I guess. I don't know. I actually think they wanted to play basketball.
How many folks are showing for this basketball game?
I mean, 10 people?
I mean, at most, 100.
Dude, there aren't 100 people coming to that game.
I said at most.
Well, I get that. I mean, at most, I'm going to be 6'7".
Would there be some people show up just because? I don't know.
In Clinton, Mississippi on a Monday night?
Well, see, that's the thing, too. It's not in either one of the areas where your, quote, fan base is.
I mean, however many hardcore, and I do mean the hardest of core, Mississippi State fans live in Clinton, I suppose they might
This thing was only getting a substantial number if we did a podcast around it.
Yeah, and I mean, come on. A Monday night in Clinton. I mean, we might have spring football that week. I don't know what's going on that week. I mean, there's no way to plan something like that out. And then it's before you even get into the optics of it. And by judging by MSU Twitter this week, they would love those optics.
And now we don't know that was happening. I don't have a clue exactly when. It might have been just, hey, white team versus black team for all I know, but... they chose to make the whole thing public instead of figuring out some middle ground.
Well, or instead of having a conversation about it and getting kind of to, hey, there are some things we need to address before we even think about it going forward. Instead, it turns into a Friday afternoon, Friday night ear measuring contest.
Playing victim card.
Yeah. Well, woe is us. We wanted to do this, but those jerks. So... what happens at that point.
Yeah. So anyway, we're giving money to FedEx, the FedEx house at Le Bonheur. You can see that. Neil's Twitter, rebelgrove.com. It's on the message boards all over the place. So that was fun.
Been a rough month. I mean, death threats from those hard Scrabble Iowans.
You know, Iowa known as a very hostile fan base. They really get after you.
You think about rough places in our country. You think about places where if you grow up, you know, if you grew up in Boston, for example, you have a little edge.
Detroit.
You grow up in Brooklyn, Detroit. You got some edge. You grow up in Iowa, you have edge. Those cats have edge.
Detroit, Oakland, Iowa City.
Iowa City. Des Moines.
Dubuque.
You ever met a Dubuquian? Edgy. Like a cat.
Packing heat, usually.
Usually.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You never know when someone's going
to
come pop out of
that cornfield. You go down to that Culver's and you never know.
You never know what's going to happen at Culver's when they order the double chocolate mint and it's gone. Look out.
The cheese curds.
And they're out. Bush Light and they're out.
Whew. Speaking of, what is Iowa State's obsession with natural light?
Is it natural light?
I think it's natural light.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was bush light.
I thought it was natural light.
Yeah, well, either way. Either way.
Take your pick at that point. If you really have a preference between those two, I'm impressed. Yeah. But
yeah. Hey, this one tastes like water, and this one tastes like water.
How you get a 30-pack for $3.99? Yes.
Be careful, because, hey, if you criticize Iowa, look out. Death threats. They'll take your credential away. They'll go after your family. Those Iowans.
Why were there so many Cyclones?
They go for the throat.
Why were there so many Cyclones fans in Oxford on Saturday? Do they just travel like that for everything?
Well, I don't blame them. Their team is really good.
And apparently they drank Memphis Dry for the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah.
They've already been in the area once in the last month.
Yeah.
You went to the other party. No, it wasn't Liberty Bowl, was it?
No,
they played Oklahoma State.
It was San Antonio.
Was that where it was?
I'm pretty sure.
Or was it like last year or something? Jeffrey and I were talking about this.
They were in Memphis a year earlier.
Okay, that's what it was then.
And drank it dry.
Yeah.
Of Bush Light or Natural Light, whichever it was.
Yeah, whatever domestic beer you have.
Whatever it was, it was gone. My source on that is Jerry Lawler.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, not to drop names, but.
Hey, you know.
Yeah, there were a lot of fans. They had a lot of people there.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Maybe they just made the trip. I don't know. I mean, frankly, if Ole Miss goes to, like, Iowa for a Big Ten challenge or something, I'm going to go.
Check it out. They beat Memphis 21-20 in the 2017 Liberty Bowl. Yeah. There you go.
Big win.
Big win.
Everybody remembers that Liberty Bowl.
Matt Campbell getting things done.
He actually is.
Yeah, I know. That's what. Yeah. Yeah, but before the break, basketball. Big week ahead, obviously. They go to Florida. They got Mississippi State at home, reeling right now, tired right now, and just got beat Saturday by a really good basketball team that was a really bad mismatch at the guard position, even for Ole Miss. I mean, yep. They offensively, that's a team that when you're getting your brackets ready, they could be hell come March for somebody.
Offensively, I tweeted this, and when they – one guy tweeted back at me, and then he deleted it. His tweet back at me was, why don't you go work for them? Like, dude, chill out. They were fun to watch on offense. They moved the basketball. Kermit Davis talked about this after it was over. Everybody could pass really well, pass at a high level. And they got open shots, and they started making them. And then they kept making them. And then they really kept making them. They were like 20 for 24 or something in the second half. I mean, they only had 5 offensive rebounds, which tells you there was nothing to rebound. You don't get a rebound when you grab the ball score after it goes through the net.
I mean, I get missed up on fouls and whatever, but I think on the score sheet they made 13 straight shots at one point.
No, they did.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to do against air. I mean, Ole Miss couldn't have been good defensively, but that's fairly talented no matter what.
Well, at the risk of being critical here, many of those shots were against air. They weren't guarded.
Didn't switch well. Didn't.
Bruce Stevens probably did not like that film review, because it's one thing to get beat because of athleticism. That happens, right? It's another thing to get beat because you're not hustling. That's the concern a little bit right now, is that for the last week, for whatever reason,
little effort,
a team that was nationally ranked, and it's not going to be this morning, and nor should it be. But a team that was nationally ranked and playing for something didn't play particularly hard. It's got a bug. Kermit Davis says it eats his soul.
Is that a quote?
That was the quote. I wouldn't want to be at practice today. I would think today is going to be a different deal. Today might actually be the day that you throw caution to the wind and people vomit in buckets. Not all the people, because some people played hard. Devontae Shuler played hard. Brian played hard. Not particularly smart at times, but hard. I don't think effort's ever an issue with Dominic Olenichuk. Athleticism is. Effort's not. Henson and Buffin played a little better. But, man, they got to get more out of TD than what they got out of TD this last week. Got to get some leadership out of him.
What's the deal there?
I don't know. Had an erratic career. He's having an erratic season. So it's kind of par for the course.
To reach the ceiling, he couldn't be erratic.
I would have sat Stevens and not played him again after the period in the second half.
Really?
He got beat.
It was a three possession deal right there.
Got beat, came down, took a really stupid shot.
And got beat again.
And then got just destroyed.
Didn't get back
at
all.
And the guy got said dunk. So, you know, you talk about competing against air. Well, when you take a 6'11" guy and hand him the ball under the goal with nobody guarding him, that is against air. And the air did not stop him. He dunked the ball.
4-2 in
Iowa State.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a Final Four caliber team. Now, I didn't say they're going to the Final Four. That's a Final Four caliber team. You are, if you're Kentucky or Duke or somebody, you don't want them in your regional. That's not a team you want to see on the bracket, because their guard play is capable of beating you on a given day. They're good. They're really good. And I don't know that Ole Miss at its very best could have beaten them. But what's interesting about Ole Miss is as bad as they played last week, and they were bad, at one point against Alabama, they were only down 4 or 5 points late in the second half, in the first half. And against Iowa State, at one point early in the second half, they were down 1 point.
Well, when only being down 5 or whatever it was at halftime felt like the gift of all gifts.
Oh, I thought it was a win. And then they come out and just played like crap. Only down 1 early in the second half against Iowa State. Only down 1. You have a chance. They don't play hard. It was weird. I don't know. This is a fascinating week, though, because they go to Florida and they play a hungry Florida team. I would assume hungry. Hell, they might not be. They're 11-8. They
lost to TCU on Saturday in Fort Worth.
There's some clamoring down there for change, and that's early. But they did this last year. There was a reason Mike White's name popped up on this Ole Miss job last year. It was because Mike White was putting his name out there on the Ole Miss job in case something happened at Florida. And they got hot and
salvaged it.
And salvaged it, made the tournament, and actually played pretty well. But now they're 11-8. People aren't going to be excited. That's not going to be a big atmosphere at the O'Connell Center.
Yeah, never really is anyway.
So it's a chance for Ole Miss to salvage this a little bit. And then they come home to play a hot Mississippi State team.
Beat Auburn. Push Auburn out of 2-4 in the league.
Yeah. Auburn without Wiley. Austin Wiley didn't play, and that was a factor. But State's good, and State will come into Oxford very motivated by this charity basketball snafu.
We'll continue that in 1 second. First, tell you about Scripted Jewelry. Go to the website, scriptedjewelry.com. Today, last day, maybe tomorrow, but I think, tomorrow, last day for your no-rush ordering for Valentine's Day. So get it done today. Don't take any chances. You can get on there. You'll get your items in time for Valentine's Day. February 6th, the rush option for Valentine's Day. This will cost you a little more coin, but you'll have to do that with Scripted Jewelry. Remember, they do handmade items, handcrafted to order. Turnaround times are fabulous. Put your script, put your fingerprints, personalize it for that special someone in your life. So go to the website. Someone in Brownsville, Tennessee just purchased an Ariel bracelet, a silver version of that one. So get some ideas. Again, scriptedjewelry.com. And when you sign up, Rebels10, put that in the code box, 10% off your order.
Ariel the mermaid?
Spelled the same way, so potentially. Uh-huh. I know you're a mermaid guy.
I love mermaids. Podcast also brought to you by Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. Guests will join our family of podcasts on the Patterson and Earhart hotline. Patterson and Earhart specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm, and that's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys, and when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. On Tuesday, tomorrow, Pinnacle Trust will be hosting their annual economic forecast in Jackson, Mississippi at the Country Club of Jackson. The doors open at 5. Join the Pinnacle team for cocktails and appetizers. The program begins at 6, ends promptly at 7. Goldman Sachs economist John Towsley will be highlighting the current state of global economy and financial markets. The Pinnacle investment team will cover topics ranging from geopolitical risk to tariff negotiations and the impact on markets and the Federal Reserve. For those unable to attend, the event will be recorded and made available on the Pinnacle Trust website, pintrust.com. It's pinntrust.com. For reservations, email assistant@pintrust.com or call the office at 601-957-0323. Podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. At the Westin Jackson, sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch, and Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight.
Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Mepeseto County, and Chattanooga, a leader in condo financing in Oxford, and the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate, 662-234-2704, or JLOWE, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Looking at KenPom real quick, just a little update on things after that week. Ole Miss losing three of their last four, including two in a row. Couple drastic changes here. KenPom still has them 20-11, 10-8 in the SEC as of this morning, and they have them going 1-1 on the week, but a tight one on the win, giving them only a 30% chance to go into Gainesville and win on Wednesday. That is a projected 68-62 loss to the Gators, and then has them winning Mississippi State 75-73, 55% chance at home on Saturday. If they're going to make hay, this is the opportunity, because KenPom, while two of the games are very close percentage-wise, has them winning three of the next four after losing to Florida, or actually winning three in a row after losing to Florida.
Because they get A&M and then Auburn?
Georgia on the road.
Georgia on the road.
Which Georgia kind of hammered Texas on Sunday. The SEC scratched out four wins in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, which kind of was a win for the league considering you look at it, and LSU didn't play, Auburn didn't play, Mississippi State didn't play. Three of their best teams were not in that challenge, but they got wins from Georgia. They got wins from A&M. And they got wins from Kentucky, and then Tennessee were the four. Tennessee hammered West Virginia. Kentucky beat Kansas pretty handedly in the marquee matchup of the day between the two powers.
I don't know whether you have looked at 10 Thoughts or if you read it carefully. I delved into this a little bit. 10 Thoughts, by the way, brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. If you're getting into the market right now, the residential condo market in Oxford, you need to get in touch with Harry. It's harryalexander.com, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. So I dove into this a little bit. Before the season, I had Ole Miss going, I guess, was it 10-3, 11-3 in the nine?
Whatever they went.
And I nailed it with them losing.
Two.
Well, but I had them losing to Iowa State.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
So I got that. I had them 7-11 in the league. And so I did what I like to do when I'm trying to pick is I have found this as stupid as it is, it kind of works. Worst case, best case, meet in the middle. Worst case, I've got them at 7-11 right now.
All right.
Best case, I got them to 13-5.
Sure.
Which is really – but the best case is giving them a lot, and the worst case is giving them nothing, basically. Meeting in the middle is 10-8. And I said, hello, Mr. Bubble, at 10-8.
Oof.
I mean, my God. You are the walk.
Because of their non-conference lack of wins, frankly.
I think they'd be on the wrong side.
Yeah, you look at some past history in the SEC, and there's several examples just in the last year, two, 3 years. Now, the league was worse other than one of those years, but of teams being in that range and not getting in and falling short, just because that non-conference schedule gets up into like the 250, 260 range from a strength standpoint.
It would be one of those deals where at 10-8 –
you go to Nashville having to win.
I think you'd have to win two games in Nashville. I think you'd have to wake up on Saturday morning with a game to play.
Because San Diego has not been good.
Now, Baylor's been better, and that's helped.
Yeah, that's helped. Even Butler's not giving them what you kind of thought Butler might give
them.
It's still a quadrant one game, but it's not giving you what you thought analytically all the way around.
You're going to have to win games. And this is where Kermit talked about this after the game on Saturday. There is no margin for error on this team. I've been saying this for a long time. There's none. None, zero. They have to be efficient, and they have to play really hard. They know what's in front of them. I mean, you know, go win a game on Wednesday night, and you suddenly look okay. Win two this week, and you're in great shape. But lose two this week, and it just gets almost impossible.
If you're Ole Miss, your worry is that, just looking at KenPom, and again, we're just taking metrics here, there's only two games left on the schedule where you have a better than 58% chance of winning them.
Texas,
that's the worry.
A&M at home and Georgia at home?
Missouri at home.
Missouri at home.
Actually, I may have missed something. It might be three. Yeah, sorry, three of them. A&M, Missouri, and Georgia at home.
And then they have some winnable games. This is the thing, is they could win in Georgia. Sure. They could win in Columbia, though it's looking harder by the day. They could win in Fayetteville. Who knows what Arkansas will be, but Arkansas showed life this last week.
It's senior day, so it'd be really hard, but they could win in Columbia.
They could
Missouri.
Win in Como. But it will be difficult.
Yeah. Missouri had a 14-point lead on LSU in the last 5 minutes the other night and just caved. I mean, turnover, 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 turnover. And then LSU got bailed out by the officials in the last 5 seconds. And it's that – I went over to Gabe's message board just to pop some popcorn and check out the fallout. And it was a lot like Ole Miss has been at times, depending on the game you're talking about. Sort of the same kind of deal. They never should have been in that situation, and then they got screwed on top of it. So it's what percentage are we blaming of who at this point? And it's a little of everything, frankly. The better team got bailed out,
yeah.
And but you had a chance to just hold the ball and hit some free throws and win by 10.
Yeah, up 14.
About 4 minutes left.
God, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
When you lose that one, it's really hard to pin that on the officiating.
But you still did enough. I mean, yeah, it sucked, but you did enough. You had a, they had a one-point lead. They were up 71-70. LSU goes in for this wild layup and somehow ended up a foul on Missouri, and then the kid hit one of two free throws to send it to overtime. And once it went to overtime, you went, nah, okay, ball game.
Ball game.
Yeah. Because Will Wade had lost the tie very early in the second half. He was hot for most of the night in Como. But
so it's doable. It's there, but you're going to have to win games. It's not the league's not going to fall to you, I don't think. I think you're going to have to go get it. I don't know. Had a lot of people ask over the weekend, you know, do you think this is a tournament team? And my answer is, at this point, and I've watched a lot of their games, is no. For this team to be a tournament team, Tyree and Davis have to play really mature basketball. They've got to get something out of the box every single night. Whether it's Stevens or Dom, and you're counting on the freshman. Henson's got to give you more than he's giving you. Buffin's got to give you more. And they could, but they're freshmen.
Kind of looking at it here, Arkansas has done Ole Miss a little bit of a favor. I do notice that Arkansas has jumped into quadrant two as of right now for a game. They're up to 69 in the net. Vanderbilt just kind of hanging there at 93, but probably safe as a quadrant two as well. But just nothing in those other non-conference. Like, you thought FGCU would be sort of okay. They're a quadrant four game. They can't even get to quadrant three. San Diego's at 100. I mean, we thought they'd be better, but they're not good by any stretch. And then this is not one of Mueller's best teams at all. Illinois State is hard down in the 200s. So that's that. And you're not usually getting the Kermit bump off MTSU. MTSU sucks, too.
Yes.
I mean, look, he's not there, but he also picked the appropriate time to get out of Murfreesboro too. It was that team.
Interesting how that all.
That worked. Team was not very talented in Blue Raiderville. Now they would have had KJ Buffin and they'd had some guys, but oof.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be better than they are.
They're bad.
Yeah,
real bad. I mean, bad. So there's that.
I've had people ask me. I have had this question at 10-8, would they be an NIT team? And I think so.
It's harder, but probably, yeah.
I think.
That's become a weird deal. The NIT is strange these days.
Well, it's uncontrolled. It's because if you win your league.
But don't win your tournament.
You're in. And those eat at large spots.
A lot of spots.
Yeah, so who knows.
Tennessee up to 6 in the net, actually down to 6. They were like 4 last week. LSU at 16, Kentucky at 7. Carolina at 113, still struggling from a net standpoint. They lost their Big 12 game. Ole Miss at 36, State at 29, Alabama at 43, Florida at 37, Auburn at 27.
What's Florida at?
37.
Yeah.
Auburn getting close to falling out of quadrant one, by the way, for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They're at 27. Arkansas, as I said, at 69, Missouri at 79, Georgia at 88, A&M 108, and then Vanderbilt at 93. Everybody's still in really good shape. You just got to win games. It's there.
It's there. Get to 11-7 and you're in. I don't.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that.
I don't think this team can get to 11-7.
7-5 the rest of the way.
You think they can do it?
Doesn't feel like it. The Shuler injury is so big. I mean, it's
He looked healthier Saturday.
Did he?
Actually exploded off the foot and got a dunk.
What's up to TD?
Made some shots. Yeah.
They're not doing anything if he's not going to play well. Period. I know.
Gotta
analysis. Your best player has to play well.
Got to play mature basketball. Mature basketball.
And it's just struggled to do that.
It's been hard. And look, Terrence is a great kid. Think about Terrence, the human being. Just on a basketball court, he's got to control his emotions, and he's got to play really hard. Simple as that.
For Wednesday for Florida and Ole Miss?
Yeah, Wednesday at 5:30 Central.
Really?
Yes. So 6:30 in lovely Gainesville.
The national game?
You're asking questions that I don't know answers to at this point.
Just wondering.
This information will be provided on rebelgrove.com at some point in the next 48 hours.
When a notes package gets sent out?
That might be at the same time. Yeah.
Okay. Just saying.
Just thinking.
Well, there is Google.
There is. I mean, I can look.
It's fine. I don't care that much.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Gonna have some baseball content later. They run through their first weekend of intra-squads on a Friday and Saturday. So
anybody fired yet?
Practice has sprung. No one fired.
No one fired yet.
No. Well, I mean, you know, won both intra-squads. Intra-squads.
So they're undefeated.
Well, they're 1-1. They won and lost. I mean,
who was coaching the losing team?
I don't know. Usually, kind of players dictate that for the most part.
There was a leader. Who was the leader?
I don't know.
Fire him.
Fire the player.
Absolutely. Send a message right now.
The right people were good. Again, you're playing against yourself. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I get asked this question. Well, how'd they look? Well, if you get a hit, they gave up a hit. If you hit a home run, they gave up a home run. I don't know. I mean.
If you gave up a home run, you got a home run.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It kind of evens out a little bit. let's let a couple weeks pass. The bigger thing is just kind of how they handle pitching stuff. Because you'll get an idea of what Mike's planning to do from how many innings, how many pitches he gives certain guys. He's going to sort of make roles possible by the way he stretches players over the course. We talked to him on Friday. There's another media op today, which, whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm not going to complain about access. I just have no questions. So
how'd you sleep last night, Mike? Tell me about dinner.
Yeah. How's your mom and them?
What you have for lunch?
I think I have asked him that for some reason at one point.
Well, you run out of stuff at some point. You do.
But I asked him on Friday, I said, what are you doing with these guys to get them ready from a pitch count standpoint? Probably a question I've asked him 19 straight years. But and bet it hadn't changed much. He said they threw two innings over the weekend, but they could stretch them out farther because it's really 30 to 40 pitches the first week. And then it's about 20 more pitches each week after that. With the hope being that they probably give you 75 to 80 on opening day that weekend for the starters, and then you sort of manage it from there. But that's
who do they open with?
The Wright State Raiders, who have a wolf as a mascot.
Wolves.
Well, then the Raiders.
So?
Their mascot's a wolf.
He's a Raider.
It'll fit right
wolf.
In around here.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Well, they used to have some sort of figure that I think was found inappropriate. I think they're another one of those schools that for some reason had something and they end up with a wolf instead.
Okay.
I guess the Raiders got upset. I don't know. They played them a few years ago. Somebody told me this. I don't know.
So they're still the Raiders.
I think they're still
they
the Raiders.
They have a wolf.
I think that is correct.
It's going to be perfect here.
At least it was correct the last time that
they
I saw
should invite Auburn there. And make it a tournament. Be awesome.
You should host an early tournament, nothing but with confused mascots.
And just bring mascots. Lots of mascots. It'll look like a Capital One commercial.
Yeah, the Wright State Raiders is their team.
Yeah.
And their mascot is this thing.
That's a wolf.
It's a wolf.
Or a German Shepherd.
It's a big dog or it's a wolf. It's something. I don't know. It looks wolfish.
It does look like a wolf.
Because he actually looks kind of pissed off.
What's his name?
I don't know. Okay. Don't care. Sorry. Not going there.
It's okay.
But they're, you know, they're one of the reasons that that Mike is so whatever fanatical about the weather. 10-12 years ago, God, it's been that long. They had decided before the game, hey, look, if it rains at all, we're just going to call this thing for the day and not try to sit through it. And Ole Miss with Lance on the mound lost 1-0 in a game that went like 4 innings. And since then, Mike has become incredibly paranoid about any weather. So we're going to sit for hours and hours and hours because of a 1-0 loss to Wright State in 2007 or something like that. So there's that. What conference is Wright State in, Mr. McCready? I actually knew this.
Is that in Ohio or Kentucky?
It's in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay. They're in the MEAC?
Not even close.
Okay.
MEAC is over there, east. They're in the Horizon. I thought you might know that, but nonetheless.
Oh, I should have known that.
You should have. If nothing else, from like men's basketball, because they're usually pretty good in men's basketball, yeah. So tournament stuff with them in the Horizon. I got a little paranoid. Instead of just taking a compliment on Friday, I walked up for the little media scrum. We were standing there, and I guess we were waiting on a player, so Mike was just sort of walking around, and he told me I looked good. And in my head, I kind of thought, well, do I not usually? Like, was there some difference or whatever? And I kind of looked at him, and I said, well, I'm cold. And he kind of laughed. He goes, you don't look cold. You look good today. I
said, okay. That was nice.
I mean, it might have been the Blue Delta jeans. I don't know what it was. I would not have had those for most of the season last year, so maybe that was the difference. But I just
Blue Delta makes you look more put together.
Does it?
It does.
Because it's fitted. You're not haggard. Jeffrey took that plunge on Saturday.
I know.
Yeah. He discussed how he designed them and everything when I saw him on Saturday evening.
Was he pleased?
Seemed to be pleased. He did.
It's hard not to be pleased after an outing at Blue Delta.
You negotiated terms with the missus.
We're working on it.
We're probably a week away.
I would think we're about a week away.
Need to get deep into the show to really get the drama going.
Yeah, we need to get a little further into the show. She and I discussed some of the questions that I have about how they're going to do some of the things on the show. She had some interesting theories.
Did she?
She did. She didn't know, but it was a little bit of a quiz, and she handled it incredibly well.
I got some questions about that.
The Bachelor is tonight.
That's what I mean. So we're still a week away.
Yeah, so we'll probably do it. We might get two more episodes in.
Okay. I got some questions on that. I'll ask them in a second. First, tell you about Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. You can get the custom playground still if that is what suits your fancy. You get a free quote just for taking care of your yard all year long like I do. You sign the contract. Not to worry about it anymore. info@gomastercuts.com or 662-607-7773.
We told you Dead Soxy would be informing you of any new products or opportunities. They're pleased to announce a way for you, the Rebel Grove community, to be a part of the process and the creation of new sock concepts. There are still limited quantities of the Mississippi sock line available. And in an effort to launch a new line, they are increasing the discount to 30% off all items. So as this original Mississippi line comes to a conclusion, don't miss your opportunity to feel the difference a quality sock makes. Additionally, there will be new concept pictures forthcoming. They really want your honest feedback and input as to what resonates with you. So for all of you who've tried them out with a single or a couple pairs, this is a great time to go in, deadsoxy.com, take advantage of 30% off, and round out your collection. And if you've not tried them, now's a really good time to do it. I would appreciate it. Russell would appreciate it. They are the sponsor of the Soft Verbal podcast. We'll tape another one of those this week. Really would appreciate your support. So go to deadsoxy.com, enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off at checkout. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. You know how this works. You call John, you give John some parameters, give him a budget, let him know where you're thinking about going, what it is that you'd like to get out of your vacation, how much you're willing to spend, and then he'll sit back. Don't worry about it anymore. He'll give you options that you would not have found on your own. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. You don't have to live in Memphis or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Gene and Sandy are terrific people. It's great service there at Grenada Nissan. phenomenal service after the sale. They're just wonderful people. If you're in the market for a Nissan, that's the place to go. GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Been telling you about the different ways to help out our partners with the Best of Oxford. Love you also to vote Oxford Best Pharmacy is GNM. All it takes is to vote GNM Pharmacy, Oxford Best Pharmacy at OxfordEagle.com/Best of Oxford. And remember, as we tell you about all the different ways that GNM can help you from making switching the medications easy, I'll tell you about compound creams, different ways to get multiple things in there all at once. They're very, very affordable, everything from skin conditions to nausea and vomiting. They do some pretty good things with chemistry to help you out. So just ask about different ways to take care of what you're looking for at GNM. Again, give them a call at 662-236-2222 or go visit them on South Lamar Boulevard. Yeah, before I get back into that, I almost forgot. My favorite part of the deleted tweets was this morning when they put a picture up that was certainly not me.
Really wasn't you.
And not even close.
Not even close.
Apparently there is someone else with at least my name in a Twitter account. Not a fake account, just another person.
And I'm sure he's a nice person. I'm going to guess that he struggles with the ladies.
It was stupid.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. It was stupid on so many levels because it's not exactly hard to find me. A lot of ways to figure this one out. And
yeah.
I don't know. I read it and I thought, it doesn't take a lot of brain cells for this one.
Well, as I've said, I want to give them credit for obsession because they are all over that.
They get the trophy.
The trophy.
The podium is named after them.
Well, it was interesting. One of the other things that I was told over the weekend was that we were upset, but that had we played the game, they would have taken the trophy home. And I was like, okay.
Really worried about winning the trophy, but you invite Keith Carter to play. Hold on. I mean, I'm pretty sure our strategy would have been just to feed him.
Well, yeah, had the game been played and we had Keith Carter and Keith Kessinger on our team?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal, fellas. We're just going to stay back here on defense.
We might run a pick, but that's about it.
And you want me to, like, yeah, shoot it.
That's the end. That's all we've done.
And I love the thing about you're worried about taking the L. No, I'm worried about my ACL. I'm not worried about the L. I'm worried about all the L's.
The LCL, the MCL, the whole deal.
PCL.
All the L's.
All the L's. I'm worried about those L's. Damn right.
It's going to be called the Golden Chicken, by the way.
I had a different name for the trophy.
Did you?
I did.
Wasn't the Golden Chicken?
No, I mean, Golden Chicken would be fine, but I kind of thought the Calvin Green trophy would be a little more appropriate.
Ooh.
Because I love this one. This is the one I love. When we
could have just been a cup with a bunch of dollar bills out the top of it.
Yeah, this has been the one that I like, is that we didn't cover this story, that the NCAA story. Number one, I beg to differ. Number two, I've pointed out where we were wrong, while we were wrong. It's funny how a lot of the people who did cover the NCAA case with an attention to great detail left out some of what happened in Covington, even though that's been chronicled.
That was not germane to the story.
It was apparently not germane. Right. I thought that was interesting. We're going to dive into a journalism portion of the comparison. I'm all in. Keep waiting for those stories about the FBI investigation that mentioned Mississippi State, too. Those have not been copious in their production.
Did your lawyer recommend you not go cover the women's basketball game in Starkville yesterday?
I did. I called my attorney yesterday, and I said, should I make the trip to Starkville for the women's basketball game? And he said, I don't believe it would be in your best interest.
Safety concern.
Now, I did go for the men's game.
Okay.
I did.
And it was fine.
Well, it wasn't as crowded as the women's game.
Okay. Less security needed.
Right. Not as many Iowans. I'll tell you this, walking into the pavilion on Saturday and seeing all those Iowans.
Might have been triggered.
I got a little nervous, yeah. Be honest with you. Because you don't know, I'm telling you, if y'all don't learn anything else from this podcast, you don't mess with Iowa.
That Cyhawk trophy is one fierce rivalry. They're not in the same league or anything, but still.
You notice there's no Big 10, Big 12 challenge. There's a reason for that.
There's not. So,
why do you think our country holds its primaries in Iowa first? I'm going to tell you why.
Caucus.
because it's caucus. We want to find out, do we have candidates who can canvass the state of Iowa and get out of there alive?
Get it out of the way early before hostility ramps up in other states.
Damn right.
Iowans, New Hampshireites, whatever they're called. Yeah.
Two of the meanest states in our country.
So Jeffrey helped broker the deal yesterday. How do you feel about it Saturday?
I think he's concerned.
From what level?
I think he is. I think he's concerned that her appearance will be too lengthy. And then I think, honestly, he's concerned that it will become repetitive and that perhaps we'll learn things about Jeffrey that even you and I don't know.
We have a tendency to get off topic, and when that happens...
We have a tendency on our podcast to...
To break from structure.
Yes. We have a plan, and often we get away from that plan.
She, however, was all in.
Oh, yes.
Ready to go.
She's ready to go. I mean, TV3 or whatever they call it will be on tonight at 7, and she will be locked in. She and I have some similar opinions of what might happen, but we had the discussion about how ABC, the network, will handle some of what's coming at the end of this program, the end of this particular series.
Uh-huh.
We have different opinions about how they'll handle that. We discussed those. We debated those pleasantly over a beverage.
So Jeffrey's not trying to be on at the same time or anything along those lines. He does not want to moderate.
I think he wants to be nearby.
Nearby.
Yes.
So you're telling me 9 a.m. is not a good recording time for Mr. Wright for this particular?
I have a feeling that this is going to be a conversation that is held late one afternoon or early in the evening. Perhaps you and I will have to open a bottle of something.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't watch this, so I'm just along for the ride.
One of the things we discussed was, as I've told you, that one of the storylines on this particular season of The Bachelor
is an experience-level thing.
Is an experience-level thing. The bachelor, his name is Colton, is inexperienced. He has had no experience, or at least that is what he claims. He claims to be completely inexperienced. And typically on The Bachelor, when things get down to the end, they... In the next to last round, I think this is the next to last round. Maybe it's the last round. They have the fantasy suites.
It's when there's three remaining, or at least it used to be.
I think it's still three. They have the fantasy suites. And at the fantasy suites, Chris Harrison, the host, gives them a card.
That's right.
And they read the card, and the card says that... You can
opt in or out.
You can opt in or out, but you don't have to. But if you would like, you can give up your individual suite
for the fantasy suite.
For the fantasy suite, and it is certainly implied that in the fantasy suite, the two people close the door. The cameras are not in there, and what is implied is that it is an opportunity to have experience,
to spend hours and talk, and really get to the bottom of the details.
Get to all of the details. And
life plans and whatnot.
Given that Colton has never been in a fantasy suite before, it is difficult for me to believe that part of this particular, that we're going to have three trips to the fantasy suite for Colton.
Ah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So I do wonder how ABC is going to handle that portion of it, and there's no way to not handle it.
Well, they've never had a guy turn all three down.
No.
So that would be different.
And so, and if they don't have the fantasy suite, well, then what do you do? So I'm curious. Legitimately, when all the jokes, like I told Alicia this. When ABC.
Aaliyah,
I'm sorry. When ABC has their meeting, you know that they all sit around and crack jokes for an hour. Then when they get through cracking jokes, someone has that moment where they go, so seriously, what are we doing?
Yeah, what's the deal?
What are we doing about this? And I don't know the answer. I've thought about, like, how would you handle that? I don't know.
Spend time on it, you say?
I would definitely think that they want to spend time on it, because after you get through joking about it, you do want to come up with a way to broach that tie. It's going to be the question. So you went to the fantasy suite with 2-3 women. How many did you experience with?
Did you watch a lot of Pro Bowl yesterday, I'm sure? Sat down, appointment viewing.
Carson came in a couple of times and mentioned the Pro Bowl. I looked at it briefly.
Okay. I didn't even know it was going on.
I was working on 10 thoughts. I was trying to get it done. I walked the dogs, and then I because I wanted to watch the Thunder and the Bucks at 5. High-level NBA game. High-level. Big NBA news this morning. Did you see that?
Anthony Davis says he's out. No matter what, one way or the other, he's done. Trade him, whatever. He's not signing.
When you list the most powerful people in the NBA, make sure you list Rich Paul. There are a few people more powerful than Rich Paul. Anthony Davis to the Lakers by the trade deadline, which I think is February 7, is a game changer.
What do you got to give up, though?
I would think they'd have to give up Brandon Ingram. I would think they'd probably have to give up Kyle Kuzma. They would have to give up picks. What's interesting is that New Orleans might say, oh, screw it, and put Drew Holiday in the same deal with Davis and just tear the thing down. You know, it's interesting. Jeff Calkins tweeted this, and he's right. There's all this talk about what happens with the Grizzlies. I think if you told me that a franchise left the NBA to go to Seattle, left their current city to go to Seattle, my money would be on New Orleans leaving.
Really?
It's not a strong NBA town. It's a huge Saints town. Not a strong NBA town. The arena's a dump. Haven't done great. There isn't NBA.
Yeah, Smoothie King, not an elite arena.
No. You go to FedEx Forum. FedEx Forum's nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And the Grizzlies have a fan base. It's going to get challenged here in the next couple of years because they're getting ready to tear this thing down. But tear the team down, not the organization.
They've been a good franchise.
But they've done well. You can do well in a small market. Oklahoma City does great. Memphis has done well. But New Orleans, it really hasn't worked. And you could move the Pelicans to Seattle and probably do fine. But Anthony Davis, this is – and people saw this coming for a long time. It's a hell of a blow to that organization because you'll never get equal talent back for him.
No, no, no. Going to our last break, tell you about Oxford. Visit Oxford. Visit oxfordms.com/events to see everything going on in town this week. The students are back and in full swing, so you want to get a little schedule in place. Figure out where you're headed before you leave town. Visit Oxford will handle that for you. Again, you can see the full calendar of events at visitoxfordms.com/events.
Been telling you about Home 2 Suites for a while. It's in Oxford just off Old Taylor Road, about a mile from campus, a mile from the square. A great place to make your home base for football season. Speaking of, football 2019 reservations begin this Wednesday. 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please be sure and stress to you guys, I want you to know that's the time you can make the call. Reservations can be made through the website or by calling the hotel 662-238-3400. Also have availability for double-decker weekend, which is like April the 20-something. 3 weeks after the Grove Bowl, I think, is when that is. So 662-238-3400, Home 2 Suites, Oxford. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. What they do have is the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. and they'll refund ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, BankOxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
A little guest news tomorrow morning. We will talk with Kelly English about the Saints funeral he put on at Second Line yesterday to kind of get closure for everyone, wrap it up. Our friend Romero Miller was there as well. Had a full house, had a casket, had a hearse, had a full ceremony, had the whole deal for the Saints Sunday after the homicide from the NFL.
I thought the NFL addressed it. They fined the defensive back. It's all good.
Think that guy ever cuts that check himself?
Number one, he's already appealed it. Number two, no.
I guess it technically would come out of your paycheck, though, wouldn't it?
It would have to. Something tells me the Rams would
reimburse that. That was the best 20 whatever thousand ever spent.
They might even give him interest.
Oh, man.
Well, from a DB standpoint, he made the right play.
He did. Got beaten.
You know what's the part of that play that has not been discussed? It was a poorly thrown ball.
It's a lot of poorly thrown balls. It wasn't very good.
If you throw the ball better on that play, I don't know that the defense.
If he throws the ball better on first down, it's a gain of 4 and the clock's running.
Yeah.
Thomas catches the ball, falls down, 2nd and 6 from the 9.
When they're going to take a timeout.
Yeah, and then that's it. Timeouts are over. We have one more left. Then
you're
going
to have 40-something seconds to do something.
At most.
Yeah. Whatever. And no timeouts.
Correct.
Right.
Not the easiest, although I think Zerline would have kicked an 84-yard field goal. But
I'll tell you this. If on Sunday they're in a situation where they need a 70-something-yard field goal, I swear to God I'd let him have a shot.
He does have him a leg on him.
I kid you not. I mean, if I'm down 2 late in that game.
You would contemplate a 68, 69-yarder?
If I have the ball on my own 48, I would try
a
69-yard field goal before I tried to
throw the Hail Mary.
Absolutely, I would. I'm not sure he doesn't make it. That one that he made the other day was from 58, and it had 8 to 9 yards on it. It was up way over the crossbar.
Yeah.
I mean, let's keep this real. It's the part of that game that didn't get talked about. That dude makes 2 clutch field goals from a long way out. Or else
this is either one and they've lost.
And they lose.
Yeah.
And the one from 58 was good for 68. So, yes, if I'm on my own 47.
It's in a dome. I get all that. Well, it's down. It's on land.
I'm giving it a shot.
Yeah. I did crack up at Wade Phillips wearing the big 55-gallon cowboy hat like Bum yesterday getting on the plane. I did crack up at least, if nothing else.
Well, his dad got close.
Yeah.
So close. I cheered for those teams when I was a little boy.
Oh, that's right.
I did.
Yeah.
My uncle was tight with Bud Adams and
really?
Love You Blue and all that stuff. Yep.
Earl Campbell. And
Dan Pastorini.
Ah.
Robert Brazil. Yeah, I love that team. Billy White Shoes Johnson was an Oiler for a little while. What was the Mike Barber, the tight end? I think he played at Louisiana Tech, so I kept up with him. They were good. It was a good team. Dan Pastorini.
Interesting thing here. I see from Bill Barnwell that he's predicting over-unders for NFL teams next season. Just kind of jumping ahead, doing some filler content. I'm not going to go through them, but we'll do that maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
But make a little bit of a Saints show tomorrow. But he's projecting 11 wins to be the over-under for the Saints next year. But he has this paragraph, which is the part of this that was interesting to me. Arguably the most complete team in the league on paper, the Saints saw Drew Brees fade badly over the final 2 months of the season. As Mike Sando pointed out on my podcast, the 40-year-old Hall of Famer was playing like an MVP candidate and posting a league-best total QBR of 88.1. That's 0 to 100 for everybody else. Heading into the Cowboys game in Week 13. From that point forward, QBR of 55.3 that placed him in between Nick Mullins and Derek Carr. off a cliff
yeah.
the last 6 weeks of the season.
I have a Saints theory that I'll save for tomorrow about what they should do next year. And it's fairly radical.
He goes on and says it's very similar to the decline they saw from Peyton Manning between 2014 and 2015. Peyton Manning still won a Super Bowl after that, but they had a Bears-level defense in the Broncos that the Saints do not have. So that was a little different situation.
What's the over-under on Rams, Bears?
Yeah, hold on, I'll tell you.
I'm curious.
Yeah, no problem. Hold on. I can find that. It gives me a little neat little thing to jump to teams if I can get up to it. You want to know the Bears? The Bears over-under projection is 10.5. They went 12-4.
Their schedule's much harder next year.
We'll have a first place schedule, so that means they automatically get the Rams and the Saints.
Yes.
Depending on what – I mean, now they'll get it somebody else because they have to play the whole division.
They get the Saints in Chicago, and I think they go to Los Angeles.
Is that right?
I think so.
You don't know what division they play, the whole division next year?
I don't. Okay.
Then the Rams – let's see, where are the Rams?
They played the AFC East this year, so it's something different.
11 wins.
Yeah.
For the Rams.
Tempted to go over.
Thinks they have a slight drop off. However, they'll be fine. They'll be a postseason team, whatever.
Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Because that'll be everybody's hot pick.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because Mahomes in year two?
Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
A lot of people at 11. Chargers at 10. Steelers at 10. Eagles at 9.5.
The Chargers fall. I think the Steelers fall.
Ravens at 9. I like the under there. I think they might suck.
I think they're done.
Texans at 9, Seahawks at 9.
I actually like the over on the Texans.
You might love this over.
Indy?
Yeah.
Yeah. 9.
8.5.
Oh, I like it.
You
over.
Can even get 9 and win.
Give me that.
You like that?
Give me that.
Cowboys 8.5, Packers 8.5, Titans 8.5, Falcons 8, 49ers 7, Browns 7.5.
I like the over.
Did they get 500?
Give me that one.
Panthers at 7.5. Detroit, at, I mean, Denver at 7.
Under.
Giants at 7.
Ooh.
Jacksonville all the way down to 6.5.
The Giants are interesting because I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. I assume they're going to let Eli have another year, but that hasn't been addressed. I don't like their division. Like, I think Washington's not going to be particularly good.
No, they've got them at 6.
I think Philly takes a step back, and I don't love the Cowboys as they just go because –
It's the perfect division for some parity to hit and someone to end up 9-7, 10-6, and win that thing.
Oh, sure. If you offered somebody 10-6, they'd probably say we won the division.
Because they'd be a playoff team for sure. Yeah. And then it's fair.
I have a theory on the Saints, though.
Okay.
I'll save it for tomorrow because it has something to do with the division and what I saw in the playoffs. Because I know what I saw in the playoffs, and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah. We'll go there tomorrow again. Plenty of content at rebelgrove.com. Never a better time to sign up for that if you haven't. We'll have plenty more podcasts throughout the week. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.